Thank you, guys. So about this time each year, we have what we call a focus week. And this is where I share across the AM and the PM services a reminder that I felt like God has put on my heart that we hope will kind of shape our year. In some churches, you know, they have Vision Sunday. But let's be honest, the vision doesn't change, right? You want to see every person in the world put their trust in Jesus. So with that in mind, sometimes we need to just kind of pin down and get a little bit more contextual, right? Consider, hey, here in Alice Springs, right, what is it that we need to be reminded of this year? What are we witnessing? What are we seeing that maybe God has a word for? I don't know about you, a good question can be really, really jarring at times when someone asks a really good question. Almost scary when it's a really good question. It's kind of a question that's like imbued with greater depth and significance, and it causes you to stop and pause and say, I need to respond to this. I was recently meeting with my external supervisor, and he was asking how I was going, and I start kind of talking about all that's happening across the year. And as I kind of continue on, he's like, yeah, that's great, that's great. So how's your heart? And there's this kind of like moment of pause where I suddenly realized, oh, what just happened in that moment? You know, what I didn't realize that I was kind of celebrating was activity. It was about all this kind of activity that was happening. And it wasn't that it was bad or wasn't that it was necessarily good, right? It was just off. It wasn't actually the most important question in that moment. Instead, he asked me, like, how's your heart? And I think that we're all susceptible to this, right? And as I listen to people and as I look around Alice Springs and I hear their stories, I'm learning that people, Christians, are often tired, exhausted, not necessarily because of the demand, though that is real, but because they are actually measuring the wrong thing. Go with me on this. When I think back to that question that my supervisor asked me, it reminded me of this key truth, that what we measure and celebrate actually reveals what we value. What we measure and what we celebrate actually reveals what we value. When I kind of share stories of all this activity that's going on, in some kind of little bit off kind of way, I kind of made an idol of busyness or activity or doing stuff. It was interesting when we were traveling over Christmas, I had the opportunity to go visit a previous church that I worked in the town that I somewhat grew up in. And it was great meeting these people that I hadn't seen for a significant amount of time. And one of the questions that they would inevitably ask was, so how is church going? How is church going? And it's this, again, this kind of like tricky question, because how am I supposed to respond to that? How I respond to that will kind of determine a little bit what I'm choosing to value in that particular moment. And traditionally, we've got to be honest about the things that churches values. I've heard it described as the things that church generally values, if left unaddressed, are bums, bucks, and buildings. How many people are on the seats, how much money's coming in, and how big are your facilities, right? And we can have a laugh, but let's be honest, right? These are the kind of classic measures that are often used to in order to kind of get this sense of, well, that is a successful church. Church is going well there, right? Because they've got money coming in, they've got people coming. Oh, they've just started a new building project. Isn't that amazing? Okay, we know this, okay? But interestingly, when we actually take a moment to step back, we realize that those kind of measures are not in any way reflective of Jesus' kingdom culture. They're simply reflective of capitalism. That's literally what it is. Like, let's just be honest, right? They are literally the measures of capitalism, right? And then completely inconsistent, actually, with kingdom values that Jesus actually invites us to step into. Because numbers will rise and fall as they have throughout history. And you can manipulate numbers with relative ease, okay? You really, really can. But the lack of substance, right, what will later be described, or what Jesus described as fruit that will last, right? That substance soon becomes apparent or demonstrates its lack of being apparent. Because according to Jesus, the kingdom of God has a different set of measures when it comes to determining what success or fruitfulness looks like. And that's what I want to explore today. Because there may be some of you here who inadvertently, like I so easily can do, are shaping your life in your workplace, in your family, maybe even here in church, around a particular set of measures that haven't been challenged for a while. And so that's what I want us to gather around and reconsider today. I want us to turn to John chapter 15. We're going to be spending a bit of time in John 15, a bit of time in Galatians 5. These passages, I hope, are somewhat familiar and deeply profound. But we're going to unwork through this and discover what this fruitfulness, what this measure of the kingdom looks like. So John 15, Jesus is speaking with his disciples, his followers, these people who are going to be taking on the mantle and the mission of God once he goes, right? So big deal. And he says this, and he's using a lot of metaphor here. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I think that there's an immense little challenge just in here. It wasn't in my notes, but even as I was reading it, that verse 6, you know, if you don't remain in me and you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers, such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burnt. Like, that's some significant imagery there. And yet I am fully aware that if we start measuring the wrong things, we can be very, very active and yet feel exactly like that. We can feel like we are withered. And there's this sense in which it's like, but there's so much going on. I'm doing so much. And yet there's this kind of lack of substance. And it's like, no, 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 you're not attached to the life here. I wonder if you feel a little bit like that at times. And so we see this lovely encouragement from Jesus saying, hey, I want you to bear fruit, right? This is what it means to be a disciple. It's to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And we're like, yeah, we want that. We want to bear much fruit. We want to be disciples of Jesus, right? This is a great thing. But when we start thinking about what that fruit looks like, what it is that we measure, we need to actually return to what produces that fruit. And the main thing that we see in this passage and in other verses around it is this instruction to abide or remain in him. This word abide is kind of an old kind of word, but it's a significant one. It's almost like to find rest, to find assurance, to find your trust in him first and foremost. And he's like, apart from me, you can't actually do anything. So if you're wanting to measure fruit, and that's a good thing because fruit's for my Father's glory, demonstrating you to be my disciple. If you actually try to do this in your own strength, you're going to produce zip. There can be a whole lot of activity, but not a whole lot of fruit. And the important thing to remember, again, particularly as we maybe just sink back into some of this kind of capitalist kind of culture and thinking, is remembering that any fruit that is produced is always for my Father's glory. It's not about our glory. It's all for God's glory. So this is what we already know about this fruit of the kingdom. One, it can only be generated by abiding in Jesus. That's the only way it can be generated. And the second thing is it's always for God's glory, not for our own. But still, even as I talk about this fruit, we're still a little bit in the dark as to what exactly we're measuring. We're going to jump up here to verse 12. Verse 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. There it is again. Fruit that will last. That's fruit with substance. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love one another. And so we see here as Jesus kind of unpacks what this fruitfulness looks like according to the kingdom that only arises by abiding in him and is always for the Father's glory, is this command to love. Love each other as I have loved you. This is a sacrificial love. This is the fruit of the kingdom. And this isn't just like some sort of added extra. I love the detailing here. He's like, hey, everything that I have learned, everything I've become aware of that the Father has revealed to me in John's gospel, he's like, I only see what my Father in heaven is doing and I do that, right? So this is like Jesus' way of kind of embodying God in many respects, even while limited by human flesh. He's like, I'm listening and I'm responding. And this is the grand revelation of the whole big thing. Everything you need to know, this is where it sums up in these commands. Love each other as I have loved you. Love each other. And this is important for us to consider as we consider, again, our workplaces and our families and our church and these areas of life that can so drain us when we're measuring the wrong thing. It's that the fruit that Jesus speaks of is not primarily quantitative, that is like an amount. It's actually qualitative. It has a certain quality about it. It's about its substance, not about its numerical value. And this is what fruit of faithfulness looks like. It's not this kind of temporary fruit, but as it's described, fruit that will last. You know, you can have a whole lot of empty fruit, but we're talking about something that has substance, that is defined by sacrificial love. And so with this in mind, I return to that question, you know, that was posed to me when I was on holiday. So how's church going? How's church going? And suddenly when we think about, okay, this is about abiding and God's glory, this is not about quantitative but qualitative fruit that reflects kind of this sacrificial love, suddenly with this new measure of what I'm supposed to be measuring, I have a whole new set of questions to that question, how is church going? Things like, are we forgiving well? Are we forgiving well as a church? Are we united in the midst of our diversity? Are we a people of love and safety and accessibility? Are we honoring people, demonstrating compassion and justice? Are we praying for our enemies regularly? Wouldn't that be interesting if someone comes to you and says, how's church going? And you're just like, oh man, we are praying for our enemies all the time. Like, would they be surprised at that response? Perhaps. Oh, you know, I actually feel like it's hard work, but we've got this kind of culture of forgiveness where we're onto it because we don't want things to lie dormant and then become bitterness. And so, yeah, as a church, we're doing really, really well. What's their follow-up question? Yeah, but how many people are in kids ministry? Yeah. You know, like, suddenly you get this stark contrast between these kind of qualitative measures and the measures of the kingdom. And again, I say this within the church context, but this is equally true when it comes to being people on mission every day, together on mission every day. As we consider our workplaces, as we consider our families, we're all going to carry a particular set of measures. And yet, are they the ones that Jesus invites us to carry? And you might be like, oh, love, oh, man, that is, sometimes that word love, it can feel like this is not a soft or weak command. To love sacrificially is not a soft or weak command. Notice this in John 13, he actually says this earlier, it's like he's priming the disciples for this big lesson. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. So there's a little bit of a refrain there. Love one another. Okay? Because love and love for others is hard, sacrificial work. And the only way that it can happen is actually by abiding or remaining in him. Once we try to draw from our energies, right, and that's all we're drawing from, we're just going to empty up with empty fruit, not fruit that will last. It must be fueled by remaining or abiding in him. I mean, I think of Jesus' great commission, because this is sometimes the flip side. People are like, yeah, but Jesus' great commission. They say, go make disciples. That numerical, right? Okay, I hear you. And making disciples is most definitely a command of Jesus. But even that command in the Greek is actually make disciples as you go, right? As you go make disciples is actually about a posture of living. It's actually about a posture of living, one that is expressing and inviting people into a different way, a way that chooses to trust and abide in Jesus. Again, it's this qualitative way of going as you go and making disciples, right? It's about us being faithful to that task, and that's going to look like sacrificial love, because it's God who produces the fruits for his glory anyway. And so all of this is not passive. Sacrificial love is not passive. It is active, but it is qualitative, not quantitative. You know, one of the things I love about our church, we talk about the scattered church. As a church, we are committed to being everyone on mission every day, together on mission every day. So faith and trust in Jesus is not something relegated to Sundays. It's not some sort of added extra. There is no sacred secular divide. Wherever you are a disciple of Jesus, seeking to demonstrate that you are a disciple of Jesus by loving one another. Yeah? In this qualitative, sacrificial way. And so faith is not some sort of extra. It reminds me of the map of mission. And if you haven't had a chance to wander down the hallway, our map of mission is just on the other side of that wall. And it was probably a couple of years ago, we actually took some time, we took red dots, and we asked this question, where is my primary place of mission? Is it in a hospital? Is it at home with my kids? Is it where I'm volunteering? And we'd take that red dot, we'd stick it on this map of Alice Springs. And I love it, because you see Alice Springs covered in dots, except in Desert Springs for some reason. Someone's got to reach there, like seriously. But people are covering this map with dots, and they're going, that is my place. That is where God is using me. That is where I'm going to be expressing sacrificial love with my children or with my colleagues or with my clients, you know. Because each of us is positioned to meet with unique people. And so faithfulness is simply recognizing what you have and using it for God's glory. It's like, God has positioned me here. He's given me these skills. He's given me access to these peoples. And I want to be known as a disciple of Jesus. So what am I going to do? I'm going to love others with sacrificial love. And if you haven't placed your red dot on that map, come find me. We're going to dot that map. If you're new to the church or you want to kind of claim it and make that moment, I encourage you to do that after the service today. But when we think about where we are positioned in Alice Springs, and when we consider our primary kind of place of mission, and we kind of link all these ideas together, what we measure and celebrate is what we value, and what the kingdom or what Jesus measures is not quantitative but qualitative. This is an important thing for each of us to recognize in and of ourselves. We must decide what we measure, or it will be decided for us. Now, our King has told us what to measure. So let me be clear, we've just gone through that. But all I'm saying is, if we aren't deliberate about claiming that and owning certain measurements for ourselves, it will be decided for us. Your boss will tell you that you hitting your KPIs or exceeding them will be what defines success in your context. You know, if we don't claim, it will be some other measure. How many times my kids chucked a hissy fit? If that's what we're measuring, right? Then that's going to be a different set of measures to how have I demonstrated sacrificial love today, right? And so we need to be aware of what we choose to measure, because it will be decided for us. In some contexts, you will need to create markers of valuation, because you might be a doctor and they're saying you need to get through this many patients, or the patients need to produce this particular outcome of which you have this much control of in your life. Right? And yet when you experience that, and if that is the measure and you haven't challenged that, then suddenly you're going to be defining your significance and maybe even your worth and your practice in God's eyes about this much. And you can see how that just absolutely undercuts the significance, one, of what you actually are doing sacrificially, but also it just debilitates people, exhausts them. Because we're measuring how many students make it through to year 12 and whatever other measures that you're generating. And it's not that these things are bad, of course not. But we need to keep our eyes focused on what Jesus invites us to measure. Because your workplace or your family of origin or maybe even your theological tradition will have these kind of default measures that dishearten us if left unaddressed. And you know, at its worst, it actually creates this kind of form of spiritual captivity where we start to question our worth in God's eyes. I love how the Apostle Paul invites us to kind of get a handle on this sacrificial love, which is, of course, produced by abiding in Christ and is expressed in daily fruit. Now, a little bit of context before I kind of hit up Galatians chapter 5. So the church in Galatia, right, they had missed the point. I suppose that's and look, we're all susceptible to that. They had missed the point. There was division. There was religiosity. And they had these wrong markers and measurements. In fact, in the text, we're going to talk about circumcision, right? They were using these markers and measurements and symbols as indicative of faithfulness, and Paul just like tears them a new one, right? Because he's like, this is way off track. So check this out. In our Galatians 5, verse 6, we're going to start with, "For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value." It's like, hey, if you're measuring this stuff, it has like no value. Like, come on, guys. "The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." Like, that's the only thing that counts, is faith expressing itself through love. And he's talking to this church, you were running a good race, who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth. That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast, throw back to last week, works through the whole batch of dough, right? He's like, you were running, you are on the mark, you are measuring the right stuff, but something's like cut out from under you, kind of defaulted to some measures that you shouldn't have defaulted to. And that kind of persuasion, it doesn't come from the one who called you, being Jesus. He makes it really, really clear. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. Love one another. And so Paul then connects this with the kind of a fruit that is generated by participating in the Spirit. And I'm just going to pick up a few verses here from chapter 5 because it's kind of intermingled with other things. He says in verse 13, "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free." How many of us are feeling free when we're measuring ourselves against these values that don't reflect the kingdom? "But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Down to verse 16. "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Verse 22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law." And you might have like read this passage like so many times potentially in your life, and yet how often do we actually not choose to utilize these measures as evidence of the fruit of the kingdom, as a fruit of sacrificial love? I don't know about you. Did you know that it takes sacrificial love to be patient when you have kids? It does. It is hard to be self-controlled in a work context where you don't like your boss. It takes a certain kind of sacrifice in that moment to choose these things. So these things are all connected, right? And it's very, very important to kind of consider this when we consider this kind of question God's qualitative measure of our lived experience. This is the kind of fruit that is expressed. I mean, maybe when we consider our day, we ought to ask this kind of question. When we think about this fruit of faithfulness, where, how, or to whom, walking in the Spirit, was I able to express love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control this week for God's glory? Like, if that's the thing that we're measuring, wouldn't it be interesting if you came home and you talked to a partner or a friend and it's like, how was your day? And your response was to pause and consider and go, peace. I think I was able to express peace through the Spirit today. And that's all that mattered. That's all that mattered. I made no sales. but I express peace through the Spirit today. It's just a different measure, and it's a challenging measure. This isn't like, oh man, this is easy. This is abiding, this is faithfulness, but it's just a different measure. And it's all for God's glory. I mean, the Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. This is what John actually tells his disciples, but accepting and living that truth is still a choice. But this choice is not informed by guilt or by fear. And it's not about just kind of getting more joy. This is about abiding and trusting in the God that you know deep in your heart already accepts you and already loves you. It's actually living from this place of contentment and peace, even in spite of the incredible and excessive demands that exist in our world. Demands that will always exceed our capacity. Let's be honest about that, right? But this kind of fruit is not informed out of fear or guilt. It's this reminder, it's like we don't need to earn God's favor. We don't have anything to prove to Him, right? And for those, maybe you're sitting here and you struggle with that question, am I doing enough? Remember this, and this is what I felt like I just want to leave people with today. I want you to be reminded, if you are someone who struggles with that, am I doing enough? Am I doing enough for God? I just want you to remember this. You can't be loved by God any more or any less than you are right now. You can't be loved by God any more or any less than you are right now. And when we feel that drawback toward culture and the measurements that would seek to define our love and our worth and our value by whatever measures it chooses, we return to the heart of God who demonstrate perfect sacrifice on the cross and said, I've already done it. There's nothing to prove. You can't be loved by me any more, any less than you are right now. And so in that place of contentment and peace and assurance, love sacrificially, draw from me and measure the right kind of fruit. So what are you going to be measuring this year? As a parent, as a worker, as a disciple of Jesus, we'll be known for our love. Let's just take a moment. It's going to take a minute for us just to sit in relative silence. And I want to invite you to consider this really challenging question. What have I been measuring? What have I been measuring? And I want you then to consider what Jesus invites us to measure. And just allow the connection of those two questions. In the connection of those two questions, for God to do a work in your heart, maybe reveal something. Take that moment now. God, we want to be defined by what you say is true. What you've declared to be true. What you've demonstrated to be true. True about ourselves. True about our energies, our time in this temporary world. And so forgive us, Lord, where we have strayed. When we began to measure the wrong things, catch us with a question that provokes. God, I want to pray that even as we breathe throughout the day, to breathe after a long day. That we would be reminded that your Spirit is at work through us. May we celebrate the fruit that is being expressed for your glory by your Spirit. God, we don't want to be doing things in our own strength. We know the result of that. And Lord, particularly for those who are feeling like those branches that are kind of cut off, not connected to life, and that challenge of what good are they? Except to be thrown away and burnt. God, I want to pray that if we're feeling that, we would tap back into you, the source of life and hope and assurance. And there would be a renewal that takes place in our hearts and in our minds. Thank you for our springs. Thank you for this amazing place. And even though, Lord, we see needs, Lord, we know that you see them too. May we be faithful in the positions that you have called us across industry and across Alice to demonstrate that sacrificial love. May that be what we are known for as your people. In your name. Amen.